This is the Bat Pod.
Grab your bat microphone. It's time to start the show. Like a court of owls, the mystery is starting to grow. Let there be no debate. It's about to begin. Keen like Bruce Wayne, quick like Tim Drake, fierce like Damien. Grab your headphones, listen up, you know you love it. Drop the facade. Like the Dark Knight Detective, they've got some perspective. They're a pure crime-fighting collective. It's the Bat Pod.
Welcome to the Bat Pod, episode 10. My name is Bill Beer, and joining me as always, Joey Galvez.
Hey, how's it going, Bill?
Good, it's going real good. And tonight, we have some good stuff for you. We got Batman number 64. Detective Comics 998 and The Batman Who Laughs number 3. So, Mr. Galvez, are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready as I'll ever be.
Are you awake over there?
I'm definitely awake. Are you awake?
Yes, I'm awake. Tonight I'm awake. I already had some coffee. I am awake. So let's head to the books.
The Bat Pod is a spoiler podcast. Please read the comics we're reviewing so you can enjoy the show.
We are a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network.
Our first book is Batman number 64. Your writer is Joshua Williamson. Your artist is Gilliam March. Tamu Morey, colorist. Steve Wan's letterer. Chris Burnham and Nathan Fairbairn, cover. Sean Murphy, variant cover. Andrew Marino, assistant editor. Brisney Holzer, associate editor. Jamie S. Rich and Paul Kaminsky, editor. And as always, Batman was created by Bob Kane with Bill Finger. And in this issue, Batman is battling this Justice League of Amazos with the rest of the Justice League when he goes off on a lead to the Flash Museum and catches up with the Flash. They're at odds due to what has happened from Heroes in Crisis, and they figure out what's going on, and we see Gotham Girl, who we haven't seen since issue number 50, and we have a big reveal at the end. She's trying to revive Gotham.
Yeah.
What did you think of this issue?
Super, super interesting issue. I was kind of reading the other issues of Heroes in Crisis, and those issues are pretty good. But they're about, what, five in? They still haven't even given you any clues of what's going on. They get diverted to a couple of different investigations here, but I really enjoyed this issue. I thought this was really cool that we saw Gotham Girl, and man, she's going to be reviving her brother. Pretty, pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. It was pretty interesting. Now, we get right off the bat, we get that this issue takes place before the Nightmare issues.
Uh-huh.
Just yeah. Trying to have a little continuity in the books here. But if you're expecting answers about Heroes in Crisis from these issues, it's not going to give you any answers.
No.
You have threads coming in. You see the Batman and the Flash are sort of frustrated that they don't have any leads of what's going on with these murders and everything. Mm-hmm. And this first battle scene where you see them battling the Amazos.
Yeah.
And there's Amazo for everything. And Batman thinks he's hallucinating because the Heroes in Crisis.
Yeah.
Adding to what is already going on with Bane, the Heroes in Crisis and not being able to solve these murders are really weighing on him. It actually gets to a point where he calls Alfred and says, when I get back to the cave, we're going to check my system to make sure I haven't have anything in my system that's making me hallucinate.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting here. We see he sees, you know, Superman battling his counterpart. And what's interesting here is that the Amazos, they have a counterpart for each of the Justice League. You know, Superman's got his Superman Amazo and Batman's got his own and Flash. But in this particular panel here, we see Superman and then Batman kind of looks at him again, does a double take, and he sees Commander still in place of Superman. I think this is kind of one of those things where this crime that's happened where all these superheroes have gotten killed is weighing down on him.
Yeah, in addition to everything else that's going on. But yeah, he's so obsessed right. with figuring out what's going on
Yeah, you got to think about it, because the thing that's going on with Bane, he can't, you know, get control of that one. So he feels, oh, well, this is maybe something that I can control. I need to control. So yeah, I understand where you say that he's feeling obsessed, that he needs to, you know, investigate this and solve this murder case.
Yeah, and one of the coolest things in the story is the ending and actually who this was. It was a total surprise for me. I wasn't spoiled. I didn't read it somewhere. Yeah. When I read the issue, I actually found out what was going on, and I thought it was a nice surprise because we haven't seen Gotham Girl in a while.
Yeah, in quite some time. We seen her then when she showed up standing next to Bane there. When
it was issue number 50.
Yeah.
And they do a pretty good job of saying what had been going on with her. Because you have these two people, their parents were gunned down. They went to get superpowers by someone. We don't know who that someone is. These powers have a limit. So the more they use these powers, the powers is basically killing them. So Batman was working with them, but then something happened. The Psycho Pirate made them sort of crazy.
Yeah.
And Gotham ended up dying. He was fighting with the Justice League. He ended up dying. And Gotham Girl, the whole reason that Batman went to Bane's Island in Santa Prescott was to retrieve Psycho Pirate so he could fix Gotham Girl.
Yeah.
But it looks like at some point Batman gave up. She keeps saying he forgot about me.
She couldn't handle that her brother died. You know, she went, I don't know, I don't want to use the word insane or crazy, but it kind of got to her, you know, and she couldn't handle it. She was a little unstable, and, you know, Batman has this place in his heart that he wants to, you know, help her as much as he can. He's had so much going on. There's a couple other books that we read recently where he said, I got a lot of stuff going on. I can't really focus over here and over there, you know, so I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And the way this art is drawn in here, I think the art is awesome. But when you get to the panels with Gotham Girl, she looks nuts. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think they almost did that on purpose.
She looks crazy.
Yeah, to give you that feel that she was unstable.
Gotham there at the end was pretty cool. You know,
that was so cool.
It looks like Venom is going into his veins from that panel before reading the next issue.
Yeah.
And then in the next issue, we actually find out that it was some kind of super Venom.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you were like, hey, have you read this book yet? And I was like, no, not yet. You said, do not go to the last page because there's a big reveal. I said, okay. So as soon as you told me that, I jumped right on it, pulled out my tablet and started reading it. And man, was this such a cool issue to read. And that big reveal to see him strapped to all those lines, you know, in his veins, and to see him there. And she says, I'm going to revive you. I'm going to save you, brother. So this was really cool.
So the one question I have in this Flash issue, we see somebody in the shadows that's helping Gotham Girl. Maybe this is the person that gave Gotham and Gotham Girl their powers.
Okay.
But obviously he had said, destroy the Flash Museum and in exchange, I'll revive your brother. Do you think that's Bane?
Who do we
think that is?
I don't know if I want to say Darkseid, but I don't.
Oh, I know. Look, that's my first thought is Darkseid, but
yeah, he's got that Venom, but they're showing his forearms here. It looks like it could be Darkseid, but I really don't know. It could be Bane.
Yeah, it could be Bane. I'm not. It doesn't look. He usually has bare skin. It doesn't look like that's bare skin. It's hard to say. This is a Hero in Crisis. A tie-in, I guess you would say. So whoever it is using them in addition to Bane. Whoever it is.
Yeah.
Is this the person that gave them powers? I don't know. Be interesting to find out. And the issue that's back into Batman actually has a good title. It's Who is Gotham Girl? So it might go a little bit more of how she got her powers, which that's the kind of thing I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And they find this castle where she has an obsession with Batman and all the heroes and things.
Yeah, there's a huge shrine.
Yeah, she tore the head off the action figure of Batman and his arm off.
Oh, yeah.
Just laying on the floor there.
There's various action figures to the heroes, and different limbs are pulled off those heroes. Yeah, it's really interesting. I like these issues because you see both Batman and Barry Allen, you know, investigating, right? They're both detectives. So I love to see that. Always love to see that they pull on a thread and to see where that goes. It's really, really cool.
And they really are not treating each other super nice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're both on edge. They haven't been able to solve this crime. They're both seems a little tense. And Batman is being Batman, you know. So him being like that to people really isn't out of his nature, but
yeah. Yeah, well, they come across these big huge tubes where somebody is trying to clone Gotham Girl and Gotham, it looks like, but some of these are like they're dead. So this was really interesting to me.
My thought here was whatever they gave to Gotham and Gotham Girl, they were like experimenting in this place. And this is like a big old castle in the middle of nowhere. And then whatever this super venom serum is, they revive all these creatures, and, you know, Gotham Girl comes breaking through the wall and revives all these different Gotham-type superheroes.
Did you get this feel that they kind of look like the Monster Men kind of a thing?
Yes, sort of. I mean, maybe they were experimented on. There were people that volunteered and they were experimented on first, and it didn't work, or they ended up dying. And whatever super this is, it revived them back. But I bet you they're more like zombies than anything.
Yeah, really, really interesting. So, that's pretty cool. But we see Gotham Girl here at the end of this of Flash 64 flying off because all the other clones are, you know, fighting Flash and Batman, and she flies off and she says up, up and away, which kind of, you know, you get that feel that she's going to go after Superman. You know, Batman yells, no, Claire, no, you know, so it's really interesting. I want to see where these next few books go. I think the story continues in Batman number 65. So this is really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. This is kind of interesting. I mean, it isn't really going to push Batman's story with Bane forward, but you might get a good story out of it. I don't know how much it's really going to, I mean, it ties in Heroes in Crisis a little bit, but it's not going to be, you know, when they say tie in, a lot of times some of these tie in, it just mentions it. It isn't something that you have to pick up that you're going to miss something in the main story. And we're not going to find out. They're not going to solve the murders in this 4-issue series here. So was there anything else you wanted to add about this issue?
No, I think this issue was actually really, really well done. I was very intrigued in the artwork and the dialogue and the storyline. It was really cool that, you know, it was, you know, Batman 64 and then Flash 64. And when you read them together, it really didn't feel like it was two separate books. It felt like it was the same book, and they kind of just went together. I love that aspect.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So let's go ahead and head to topic of the week.
This is Batman, and I approve this segment.
Welcome to topic of the week. In this week, we have Joey and Bob from Gal Walks Into a Comic Shop. How you doing, Bob?
Well, Joey. Doing good. Now, I should warn everyone that I just got done shoveling about an hour ago throughout my back, so right now I'm on a whole bunch of painkillers. So if I start talking about, oh, I don't know, weird things, because I would never talk about weird things, at least now I have a pharmacological excuse.
There you go. Okay.
So, as if that's not your normal excuse, right?
Right. Well, normally it's just booze. Now I have pills to give me an excuse.
A combination of both.
Wow, man. You ever see those colors on the comics, man? Just so groovy.
So anyway, our topic this week is weirdest gadgets and Batman's utility belt. And I know when we came up with this topic, Bob was like, hey, that's right up my alley.
Oh, my God. Because, you know, I mean, the utility belt. Everyone should have one. Even the Joker had a utility belt at one point.
Yeah, what's better than that? Seriously.
That's hilarious.
Keep all his jokes in there.
Plus, also keeps all the criminals in Gotham from having their pants dropping down, you know, over their buttocks. So, you know,
everyone should hear that, Joey.
Yes, yes. Are you saying that I need one of those?
Okay, so we're going to change it up a little this week. And Joey, you're going to go first.
Okay. I really enjoyed looking these up and it made me really laugh out loud because, man, some of the stuff that was in some of the old school comic books and even in the, you know, 66 Batman TV show, that's where they, you know, they pulled out all kinds of crazy stuff out of his belt, right? But this one is one of my favorite ones and I thought it was really funny. Bill had mentioned it back in the day when he was doing some trivia. And I had to bring it up. It is the Bat Female Villain Repellent. It was just, I thought that was a really hilarious one. It was so weird, so odd. And why would he have something like that in his belt?
Well, you know, in all fairness, Vicki Vale used to be really annoying. So the only way to really kind of fumigate out the cave is to use the Bat Female Repellent. Me, I just tell people that I read comic books. That seems to really work for me. So.
Right. That's the
and
female,
you know,
repellent.
Batman needs some alone time sometimes. And Catwoman gets a little frisky, is all over him. You know?
I think of many times in my life when that would come in so handy. Like, hey, gotta mow the lawn. Spray the Bat Female Repellent. Ah, wonderful.
Oh man, I'm not jumping in on this one.
No, I'm sure Elizabeth doesn't listen to this podcast.
No, she doesn't. She hardly listens to our own podcast.
Bat Villain Female Repellent. How big does that come? Is it like a big hairspray bottle?
Oh, well, I get mine at the dollar store, so it's you know, and the really smaller bottles, okay, and
so
that's
that'll fit right into that utility belt pouch,
right? It's diluted, barely works.
Okay, Bob, you're next.
All right, this one I really love the notion of. So Batman in his utility belt carries a coin that tells everyone what his real secret identity is. And the reason for carrying it around is that it's in case he ever gets amnesia. Now, here's a guy who plans for everything, and yet he's planning for the fact that at some point he's going to have amnesia, but he still flies a bat plane and still carries around explosives. Like, how many pouches are you going to be searching through before you find that coin? And that coin, I think, is a 1950s story, like a 52 or something like that. Sure enough, he loses his utility belt and all these wacky adventures happen where somebody new finds the belt and he has to get that coin before they find it. And it is a great story, but just the idea that he carries around a coin in case he ever forgets who he is.
Yeah, it came out in Detective Comics 185.
Oh, look
wow,
at you with
Joey,
the knowledge.
Pulling it out.
Maybe that one's on my list.
Although I can tell you that I know the penciler was Dick Sprang.
Yes.
No, that's interesting. Why wouldn't everybody want to do that, you know? Keep something in your pocket. You ever lose your memory, then you'll know exactly who you are and where your address is, because he had his address on the coin too.
Yeah, see, if I know that I black out so often that I need to carry around a coin, I'm not going out. I'm not driving a car. I know I'm prone to blackouts.
Of course, the other reason that you would keep a coin like that, let's say you die. You're killed. You're Batman. You get killed. They can't find the body for any reason, or it's burnt to a crisp. You got that utility belt with your little, and it'll actually say who Batman is.
Or he can maybe wait till Alfred reports him missing.
Or that.
Unless Alfred did it. Unless the butler did it.
With a candlestick.
In the study. And I thought it was Professor Plum.
Okay.
That's a different podcast, guys.
So my number three, and this is a great number three, of course. And I brought this up in a past, you know, Stump the co-host, which he pretty much gets stumped every time. So,
hey, he won last time.
I did.
I don't really remember. Did he win?
With a little bit of help, you know.
So my number three is from Batman 149. And let me set it up for you. Batman and Robin is stuck on this runaway train car. It's headed downtown where there's traffic. The only thing to do is break out the bat crayons. Yeah, that's right. The bat crayons to make a homemade stop sign so you can throw your stop sign in the middle of the street to stop the cars from crossing. The train can pass right through. There's no collision, no accidents, no problem. Bat crayons it is.
That's hilarious.
On the other hand, you know, I mean, that way you don't have to worry about Robin poking his eye out. I'm sure if you're Batman, you're always wondering, like, should I carry around bat scissors? No, I know Robin's going to run with them. Should I carry around a pen? Nah, Robin's just going to poke his eye out. Better be bat crayons.
Well, there's some worse things you could give, that's for sure. But you know, you never know. You're somewhere on a stakeout. You get bored. You want to break out the crayons, draw a picture. Come on, Joey. I know you do that when you get bored.
Oh, yeah. Or you've got, Batman Jones hanging around and he's just bugging you. Just throw some crayons at him.
Well, Batman Jones, we need to throw some stamps at him. But Batman Jones is too grown up for crayons. He outgrew crayons back in the crib right before he solved his first crime. But it's also, you know, it's good for when, Batman, you know, winds up someplace and all of a sudden he has to entertain a kid's party. Well, he has crayons.
Or he needs some sponsors, you know, at some point, you know, he might just burn through that money. He needs some sponsors, you know, to put on the Batmobile. Crayola. There you go.
Or I think I've heard somewhere that Batman has a talent to draw caricatures.
So in that case, crayons would come in handy. What I want to know is, does he have one of those really cool sharpeners like the crayon boxes have on his utility belt? Can he sharpen those crayons?
Probably not. You know, when they're done, they're done.
That's a good one. Okay, let's head to our number two. Joey, you're up.
So these first two that I've got going here, they're kind of a, you know, similar thing here. And another one that I thought was really, really funny when I first seen it was the Bat Shark Repellent. And everybody knows that came from Batman 66. But you know what? It really did not come from Batman 66 because it first showed up in Batman number 117. And then it came out in, the Batman 66 show. So I love that. It was always kind of funny. And it was just, I know this is probably one of Bill's favorites, right, Bill?
No, I actually do not have it on my list.
See, now I want to spray the room with Bat Pod host repellent, because that was absolutely my number one.
Oh, really?
Now you've ruined it for me. You killed it for me, Joey. Why would you do this to me?
Well, you already killed my number one, so I had to kill yours.
Really? Why does he need Bat Shark repellent? Seriously.
Casey's trapped underwater. Well, come on.
You know, he saw the movie Jaws, and he was afraid of going to the swimming pool for a while, and he came up with it in his free time.
There you go.
Okay, number two, Bob.
All right, so my number two is something which I'd probably carry around a utility belt with me. Sad pills. What are sad pills? Well, let's say you're attacked by laughing gas. Obviously, you're going to pop some sad pills to counteract the effect. There are many times in my life I find myself happy. Nothing good happens when I'm happy. I need a full thing of sad pills. Or I could just, like, read the newspaper or something. But the point is the sad pills. The fact that he carries around his utility belt in case he needs to get sad, which, you know, a lot of people carry around pills in their pockets to try and be happy. But it's Batman. He I'm sure he has a plan.
And you know what? That might be what he uses to get into the mood of being Batman, you know? He's happy. He just had a conjugal visit with Catwoman.
Hey. That's a clean podcast.
Well, I just picture him brooding up on a gargoyle, and he's like singing a happy tune, and Robin taps him on the shoulder going, holy jolliness, Batman, you ought to take some sad pills. He takes him. He goes, I'm so happy. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm sad again. Oh, let's get the Joker.
Or, you know, maybe Robin really gets on his nerves with all those holy whatever it is. Puts some sad pills in his coffee, mellows them out a little bit.
So apparently they used to have to put pills inside Burt Ward's drinks so that his, let's just say his lower regions wouldn't be as prominent on the TV show. Usually they use saltpeter. And maybe they also fed him sad pills at the same time.
Oh, man.
Wow, Joey, we're ruining your clean podcast, aren't we?
Yes, this is a clean podcast. Time to move on.
Okay.
I don't know. I heard somewhere that Bob is the saboteur of the Bat Pod.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely Bob. So my number two is something that is in his utility belt that is very useful. Very useful. Let's just say he wants somebody to dress up in a Batman costume, for instance. He wants several, or maybe his gets destroyed, you know? You can always use a mini costume. Just add water. They had that in hilarious. The Batman 66 series and in the comics. But you don't see that anymore. That would be awesome, you know?
Although, you know, I mean, it's really no different than, like, the Flash's costume.
Yeah.
And we say, that's really cool you have it in your ring. And, you know, Batman's like, oh, that's a silly. Really? You don't say that with the Flash.
Right.
It's kind of the nature of Batman, right? Like, we try and make it like it's so realistic. That wouldn't work. How would you fit the bat shield in your utility belt? How do you have space for those things? And, you know, once again, we don't argue when the Flash does something goofy. Comics, everyone.
And in my mind, that bat utility belt, it's almost like another dimension. He opens that pouch, he can pull up anything out of there. Anything.
Batman's pants, they're bigger on the inside.
It's like the TARDIS.
Joey, your number one.
So my number one is probably going to be better than Bob's number three. Well, maybe not, because it's the same thing. It is the identity chip, or whatever it was. It, you know, I, like I said, it was first in Detective Comics 185 by David Vern Reed and Dick Sprang and Charles Paris. So Batman has this as utility belt just in case that, you know, he dies and somebody wants to impersonate Batman. You know, well, you just throw some chemicals on this chip here, and it tells his identity, his address, and that he is Bruce Wayne and he's Batman, so that nobody else can ever become Batman and say that they've been Batman the entire time. Also, he says that it's made of asbestos, so that's a good one too, right?
Well, it means he'll get more use out of it because he's going to die early due to lung cancer. So, you know, really, that's a good thing. Plus, also, those late night infomercials where the lawyer comes on, Batman will now have a case. Have you gotten cancer or a case of mesothelioma from asbestos? Right. Call 1-800. Has Joker toxin given you cancer? Call now for a class action lawsuit. Operators are standing by.
And at least he ever loses the utility belt, anybody that finds it will know where to deliver it, you know? Make sure he gets that back.
So what's funny is in this story here, he loses his utility belt and it ends up in a kid's hands, a hobo's hands, and even a subway worker. So it's kind of funny. The kid even stuffed some marbles in the utility belt. So I thought that was kind of funny.
And, you know, the great thing is about that story is it's actually a really good story. Really fun story to read because the belt winds up helping all these people.
Yeah.
And it's the belt itself that was fighting crime for that entire, you know, for that entire story. And that's kind of a fun idea of that ripple effect of Batman's existence on other people. And you get that with a utility belt.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
Pretty cool.
Okay, Bob, what is your number one?
Well, okay. So my number one was going to be Bat Shark Repellent, but I'm going to stick with the aquatic theme. So let's say you're having trouble with seals. Seals are continually running off and you're always trying to find them. Well, you know, most of us don't have any place to turn to. We post the, you know, the have you seen the seal, you know, on the, you know, on the telephone poles. You know, we maybe post on Reddit or something. We say, hey, I lost my seal. Can you help me find it? Not Batman. Batman has the small echoing seal pulsator, which allows him to track down seals. Very useful. Everyone should have one.
I think that did that happen on 66?
Yes, he was actually trying to track down Mr. Freeze. I forgot what Mr. Freeze was trying to do. Probably freeze the world, something like that. But he has to track down these seals. So he brings out the small echoing seal pulsator. And I remember that one because I would often kind of hide that sometime in code whenever I was doing any sort of design. So point is, the small echoing seal pulsator is a device that everyone should have. And I think I'm going to start 3D printing them and sell them for sale. You can find it at the Bat Pod. Just click on the link and get a 20% discount when you mention how supple Joey's beard is.
Okay, so I guess we'll get to my number one. And I was going to go with the easy one, which would have been the bat fly swatter, but I'm not gonna go there. Everybody should have one of those. But what I'm gonna go with isn't in his utility belt, and we've seen it real recently, but I think it's so cool that I have to mention it, and that is the bat ear projectiles. You remember in that issue of Detective Joey, he used his ears. Yeah. He hit some button and they shoot off and hit the guy, and yeah, it's been used more than once in this recent Detective issue. All-Star Batman, he used them as like little daggers to stab, I guess it was the KG Beast, but it's something they should use more often. It is just kind of weird and strange, and you didn't really expect to see something like that, but that's my number one, the thing that I really enjoyed seeing.
So you would like to see more Batman panels where he's just sort of, his head is bent down like he's a bull ready to charge somebody? That's your plan for good Batman comics?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll buy that.
I mean, come on. This is Batman we're thinking about. You know what I mean? He would use anything that he can. If his arms are tied, his legs are tied, he's going to let those things fly.
Right. Not normal combat.
You know, when you think about how often springs, you know, just kind of come loose by themselves, you wonder how many times he's just kind of driving in the car. All of a sudden his ears are, boom, all of a sudden stuck in the roof of the Batmobile. How many times has Alfred wounded himself by Batman's ears and his cowls flying off?
Or, you know, they were testing them out, hit the side of the cave. And
you know, there really was a like another Robin that they just never mentioned because the ears accidentally killed him. Oh, Mr. Bruce, we lost another small child. I know, Alfred. These ears just flew off.
So I do have a special mention, and we were talking about, you know, the crayons, and Batman wouldn't give Robin something super sharp, so he would give him the crayons. It is the Bat-poon, the bat harpoon that Batman actually gave Robin for his birthday. Do you guys remember seeing that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, every boy likes a new javelin for his birthday. My son was so upset the other month. I didn't give him another javelin for his belt.
You could poke your eye out.
Instead, all I got him was this small echoing seal pulsator.
That sounds like the way to go.
Right.
Well, let's go with another honorable mention, I think. When it comes to Batman 66, there's also the African Death Bee antidote pill. Carrying on a pill for one specific thing that, as far as I know, has never actually killed anybody before. How many people are killed by African bees? Not too many. But you know what? Batman has the antidote for you.
Well, there was that movie in the 70s. I don't remember the name of it. Was it Bees or something?
Right, with Ernest Borgnine in it, I think.
Yes, yes. That would have been useful then.
It would have. That movie, Ernest Borgnine, could have been, ha, 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 I got the antidote. Ah, movie's over.
So, Joe, you have any special mentions?
You know, there's a couple of different ones that I was thinking of. There's one where he's just got this kind of instant freeze chemicals. You know, there's a point where in, I think, Batman number 85, he throws it into a pool full of villains and he traps them in there. There's also another one where he takes a freeze pill to lower his body temperature. There's a trap that somebody sets that it sets off and it's heat sensor. So he throws the pill in his mouth and he drops his body temperature. So those would be my mentions.
Okay, man. As a kid, I always loved when they would do the cutaway of what's in Batman utility belt. Like, I think it was in Untold Tales of the Batman, which I think John Byrne did some of the art on the first two issues of that. They had this really kind of cool cutaway. Jim Arpro would occasionally draw the cutaway. That was a time when Batman's utility belt was, you know, those really small, slender ovals. So yeah. Artists had to really kind of use their imagination about how do you fit everything in those little oval things.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep, pretty cool. So, yeah, pretty interesting conversation there. Again, we appreciate Bob coming on and joining us.
I'm happy to be on at any time. I don't know why you guys keep on having me back, but certainly I'm not going to argue because what else would I be doing? You know, except productive things, saving the world, helping people. But no, it's good that I'm spending much more time talking about Batman. That's a much better use of my time than, you know, I don't know, helping people.
There.
You know, two orphans probably died just in the course of this conversation.
Wow. We'll have to think about that next time.
All right, guys. It's always always awesome being on with you, and keep on potting. Man, I need a good closing for when I jump off here. Holy endings, Batman. No, I got nothing, guys.
It's all good. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. All right, what a great conversation that we had with Bob again. We appreciate him coming on. And let's go ahead and move on to the books. All right, this week my pick was The Batman Who Laughs number 3, The Laughing House Part 3. You got your writer Scott Snyder, Jock as the artist, David Barron on colors, Sal Cipriano letters, Jock cover, Riccardo Federici variant cover, Dave Wagles assistant editor, Katie Kuber editor, Jamie S. Rich, group editor, and Batman was created by Bob Kane with Bill Finger. We pick up where we left off in issue number 2, with James Gordon Jr. being approached by his father and Batman. They want to recruit him in order to get some perspective from a similar psycho killer to the Batman Who Laughs. But all James Gordon Jr. wants is to work his program. The Grim Knight interrupts their little reunion to eventually take Jim Gordon Sr. hostage. Meanwhile, at the Iceberg Lounge, the Batman Who Laughs has a little face-to-face with Penguin and his henchmen, and he kills another Bruce Wayne. Joker attacks Alfred and gets away, and we end the book with Batman giving in to the Joker toxin. So what did you think about this one, Bill?
Well, it was a wild one, that's for sure. I mean, this keeps getting crazier and crazier.
Oh, yeah. So I've got a question. Do you think we're going to see a Batman Who Laughs head-to-head with another Batman Who Laughs?
Well, it appears that way based on the ending.
Right. So our Batman, he's giving in to this toxin. He's just going to give in to it and fight the Batman Who Laughs himself, I'm sure. I'm not sure how it's going to go, because when the Batman Who Laughs was created, he killed all of his allies.
So he is a little different, but I guess he's figuring they'll be on equal standing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, kind of the reason why they were going after James Gordon Jr.
But yeah, they really wanted to get James Gordon Jr., I guess, his opinion or whatever, because he's a total psycho. But in here, he's been on this, as you said, program, taking this medication that doesn't make him crazy anymore.
Yeah.
No psycho faults or anything like that, which, and he has remorse and he feels guilt, supposedly.
Right.
But then again, if he stays this way, it wouldn't be as interesting as him being crazy, you know?
Yeah.
He's still a psychotic killer.
Right. Yeah. So they're trying to, you know, get into the mind of another psychotic person, and they're trying to say, well, how would you do this? How would you plan this out? You know, you're this psychotic mastermind. So is the Batman Who Laughs. And, you know, we want to see where you would go with this. But my thing is with that thought process, you know, Batman is essentially Batman Bruce Wayne, right? So why would Batman go and seek the help of some psycho when, you know, he is the same person as the Batman Who Laughs? Wouldn't he just be like, well, this is what I would do, but, you know, this guy's thinking, you know, psychotically, I get where they're going with that. But, well, don't you think that Batman's instincts would be a little bit more trustworthy?
You would think so, but this guy is sort of thinking outside the box a little bit, because you never know what he's going to do, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. But the one interesting thing we got out of here, because they're going to taint the drinking water in Gotham.
Uh-huh.
And then Batman has this reservoir that's untainted under Gotham. You know, he always thinks of things in advance. This is something that he thought in advance. He'll have this water that will be untainted and there'll still be water.
Yeah.
Anytime, I guess there's been multiple times that they've tried to put toxins or poisons in the water, and he has every aspect of this thought out. But the Batman Who Laughs has found out about this and is going to sabotage that reservoir also. So it's kind of interesting. Scott Snyder does put a lot of thought in his stories.
Yeah, I do like his writing for that. How do you like this fight between Grim Knight and Batman?
Oh, I thought it was pretty good. I loved it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Well, the one thing that I had a problem with was that you see Batman kind of quickly foils the Grim Knight, but you would think that he shoots his batarang and he shoots it past him, but then he throws his, you know, his folding batarang with a rope attached to it around his ankle. You would think that, you know, if he's Batman and you got the Batman Who Laughs, who is, you know, always one step ahead like the Joker would be, but this is a Batman, you know, you would think that the Grim Knight would be just as good. He would always be thinking one step ahead too. Why does Prime Earth Batman
get that?
Well,
you know, when you think you do things that are above and beyond of what you know that's right, killing people and murdering people, I mean, it just, that obsession might have took over his brain. So he's not 100% what Batman is.
Okay.
This particular version is what I'm thinking. And he gets distracted, which I don't think Batman would have been distracted at all, Batman, so.
And the Batarang is attached to the other side that is connected to a train. The train goes off and takes him away. But what was really cool was they turn around, there's all kinds of cars and delivery vans, you know, screeching in all around and surrounding them. And here comes the Grim Knight again. This was really cool that the Grim Knight has control over the city. Like what did he say that he's got going on here? He says, on my world, Batman, Gotham is my Batcave. Her grid, water, air, filtration systems, vehicles, even traffic lights have bats, BATS in them. So he says it's kind of like a colony. So that was kind of cool. I want to know what the heck those bats are.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
I'm sure we're going to see something like that later. Hopefully.
But then Batman Last keeps pulling these Bruce Waynes.
Yeah.
Different versions. In this latest version, he's like an old man.
Yeah.
Super. And, just to kill him.
And Yeah. Man, the way he kills him, though, he headbutts him with his headdress there.
Yeah, and the other thing that the Batman laughs, he tells the Penguin that he knows what his, Penguin always cheats at his casino, and there's a problem with the dice. It's not a cheating dice, it's like more of a normal dice, and he says, check into one of your employees, Matches Malone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Batman laughs, knows who Matches Malone is. So.
Yeah, it's Batman. Yeah, that's super, super interesting.
Yeah, so the ending, yeah. I don't know where it's going. It's been interesting so far, I do have to say.
Pretty cool. Yeah, you do see Joker gets up out of his bed. You know, he's still kind of, heart surgery and all. And kind of, he's bleeding there. I do wonder where this is going to, because you see at the very, very, very end, Bruce is, you know, banging away at some metal there. He's acting pretty crazy, talking some crazy stuff to Alfred there. And he eventually puts on this spike headdress, the same one that, you know, the Batman Who Laughs is wearing. And he says, you know, plans have changed. So I am definitely looking forward to seeing where they're going to go with this. I kind of do want to see a fight between, you know, two crazy psychopathic Batmans.
Yeah, it would be interesting. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. You have anything more to say about this issue?
No, I don't think so. I've been enjoying the ride so far. Wasn't a book I thought I'd be that interested in, but I'm pretty interested in this book. This is one of those that I have to pick up and read pretty much right away. It's got me hooked.
Yeah, it's definitely got me hooked as well, you know. And I always say, you know, Jock is a great artist. Artwork in this issue is so cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, there's really nothing bad you can say about his art. It's right. Pretty much... It fits this series perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Let's go ahead and head to Stump the Co-Host.
Welcome to the Batpod Stump Your Co-Host segment. Listen while Bill tries to stump his co-host. Can he do it? Let's wait and find out.
Welcome to Stump the Co-Host, and we have Joey here again. He's trying to keep his Batman card. I told him I wasn't going to go easy. He's going to have to step up and get these answers right. He calls himself a Batman fan. He should know these answers. Last week, he lucked out. He got lucky. I took it easy on him. He called Bob. He got both answers correct. This week's going to be a little bit more difficult. You need to know your stuff this week. Are you ready?
I'm ready. And I think you even said that I'm banned from using any of my lifelines.
Yes, no lifelines this week. So the topic of the first set of questions is basically things that villains have done to Batman.
Okay.
And I got four scenarios here. One of them I made up.
Okay.
Okay. First... The Joker gives Batman toxin that will make Batman laugh himself to death.
Okay.
Number two, Professor Milo gives Batman a fear of bats.
Okay.
Number three, the Element Man transforms Batman into elements.
Okay.
And number four, Dr. Phosphorus gives Batman radiation poisoning and turns him to a radioactive weapon.
Okay.
So which one of those did I make up?
Okay.
Joker makes Batman laugh himself to death. Professor Milo, fear of bats. Element Man transferred him into elements. Dr. Phosphorus, radiation poison, radiation weapon.
Dr. Phosphorus did something. I can't remember exactly. So I think that one's real. The one that sounds like it's fake to me, I think I would say the Element Man. Let's say the Element Man turns Batman into elements. Let's say that. Final answer.
Okay. Final answer.
Yes.
If you said the Element Man transforms Batman into elements, that would be incorrect. Oh. That happened in Detective Comics 294.
Man.
Professor Milo gave Batman the fear of bats in 247.
Okay.
The Joker toxin, the Joker actually slipped this toxin into Batman's coffee, and he had 72 hours before he was going to laugh himself to death, but he only laughed at bad jokes.
Okay. So the one that I thought was right.
I made up. Dr. Phosphorus gives Batman radiation poisoning and turns him into a radioactive weapon.
Oh, man.
So, 0-1 so far.
I really thought that was the right one. I was reading something somewhere about Dr. Phosphorus.
Yeah, I was just reading some Dr. Phosphorus too, and that's gave me sort of the idea for that. So, okay, next question. I have four answers here. Three of these characters at one point in time knew Batman's secret identity as Bruce Wayne. One does not. Figure out which one doesn't belong.
Okay.
Okay, number one. Catwoman. Number two, the Riddler.
Okay.
Number three, Black Mask. And number four, Hugo Strange.
Okay. So I know Hugo Strange did know Batman's identity. Obviously Catwoman knows. I'm not sure Black Mask or the Riddler. I'm going to go with first instinct, Black Mask.
Black Mask doesn't belong. Are you sure about that?
I'm sure. Well, not sure, but I'm going to go with it.
Okay, if you said Black Mask?
Yes.
You were correct. Black Mask is one of the ones that did not know. Riddler knew Batman's secret identity throughout Hush.
Okay.
And cool. At the end of Hush, he said he was going to expose Batman, and Batman basically said, if you don't have the riddle of who is Batman, then what purpose do you have?
Okay, awesome.
And he also threatened us to sick Ra's al Ghul on him because he had used the Lazarus Pit. I don't think some of that is in continuity anymore.
Okay.
You know, with the new 52 rebirth sort of thing. So,
right.
But we do know Hugo Strange and Catwoman for sure. So I'm so sorry you did not win this week. You could have won some good cash and prizes. Would you like to know what you would have won?
All right, yeah.
Okay, you would have won a very great prize. And this prize is a book. It's not just like any other book. It's a book of riddles. This comes straight from Edward Nygma at Arkham Asylum. It's been confiscated, but is your book of riddles. Are you excited about it?
No, because I didn't win it.
No, you didn't win it. You didn't win it. That's true. The good thing about that, though, if you would have had this book of riddles, you know, the longer that you kept it, you would get this need of doing riddles all the time and and wanting to commit crimes and doing a riddle and maybe trying to get figured out and caught by none other than Batman. So it's probably good that you didn't win this.
Right, yeah.
Because I don't think you would last too long in Arkham with that beard that you got growing there. Seriously. You know what I'm saying?
Or maybe I would have.
Maybe.
I can hide a shank in there.
There you go. You could hide anything in there. That's true. Never know what you'll find in that thing. So, yeah.
Mostly food from last week.
So, yeah. That was our Stump the Co-host. Hopefully next time, Joey will do a little bit better. He did get one. I took it easy on him. I knew he knew two of them.
You said you weren't taking it easy.
So I did take it easy on that second question. So, yeah.
All right.
So let's head back to the books. Our next book is Detective Comics 998. Your story and words are by Peter Tomasi. Penciler, Doug Monkey. Inker, Jamie Mendoza and Mark Irwin. Colorist, David Barron. Letter, Rob Lay. Cover, Monkey, Mendoza, and Barron. Variant cover, Gary Frank and Brad Anderson. Associate editor, Dave Wagos. Editor, Chris Conroy. Group editor, Jamie S. Rich. And in this issue, we find Batman confronting Hugo Strange like we saw in the previous issue. He gets a call from the demon, aka Jason Blood. And he needs to break out the Hellbat suit. And the demon and Batman battle and defeat a creature who is a manifestation of fear itself. He makes a little trip to Star Labs to visit Lelia Stone with an ending that is hard to describe. So, yeah, this was another good one.
Yeah, this was pretty good. Pretty good. I enjoyed this one.
So my first question, Hugo Strange is in a Batman outfit. What is he planning? And of course, if he finds Hugo Strange in this Batman outfit, he's planning something. He's up to no good, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this one's really, really interesting. And this week, my character spotlight is going to be Hugo Strange. So we may just find out why he's in a Batman suit.
Yep, pretty cool, and he's been there before, so.
Yeah, this one was pretty good, but there were some odd points to it.
Oh, yeah.
But I definitely liked it.
I love seeing the Hellbat suit.
Yeah, this suit's pretty cool.
Are you familiar with the Hellbat suit?
No, this is actually the first time I've seen it.
Yes, I've seen it a couple times. It was back in the Batman and Robin run with Peter Tomasi. That's where we first saw it.
Okay.
And that's when Robin had died.
Uh-huh.
Damian, Batman took this suit to Apocalypse.
Okay.
But the more he uses this suit, you know, the longer it's on, the more it takes like your life essence.
Yeah, yeah. It's connected to his.
Because it says in here, it was forged in the sun with the powers of Superman and the Justice League.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
But then we actually saw it in Rebirth Superman. We saw it in an issue there.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a cool suit. I love how it gets sent to him.
Yeah.
It's like a rocket, and it lands like right in front of him, and there is the suit.
That's pretty, pretty interesting. I think that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And the one thing that I get from here, this creature that we see in this particular episode, uh-huh. I think he was sicked on the demon. I don't know. It doesn't say for sure if the demon, Jason Blood, was somebody that trained uh-huh. Batman at all. Did you get that sense that...
No, you know what? I'm not sure if they really mentioned that he was a trainer.
I mean, he might have learned some things from him about, you know, mystical stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But this creature is definitely not the creature that we've seen before.
No, no.
Where it morphs into different people. This is a creature, and they actually send it back to hell.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some good fight scenes with him in the Hellbat suit.
You know, this thing was forged in the sun and it was supposed to be super indestructible. Man, this creature, you know, did a number on this Hellbat suit, man.
Yeah, he did. Might have to do some repairs.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how he's going to do that. He's going to have to ask a favor of Superman.
But another interesting thing that we see is, you know, when Demon changes into Jason Blood...
Uh-huh.
They're in Jason's Blood little store, which is like a trinket shop of old and new stuff, and he finds one of his oldest grappling guns.
Yeah.
He said it was a prototype when he first hit the streets.
Uh-huh.
And Jason Blood says, I don't recall purchasing this one for the store.
Yeah.
So then Batman immediately says, I have somewhere else to be, and he heads to Star Labs.
Yeah, and he takes it with him.
Yeah, and you see Cyborg's dad in this one, who appears when he shows up. He's not even looking up, but he says, hello, Batman, like he was expecting it.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, that happens all the time. I was actually thinking about that, too, because, you know, he says, do you have a travel sigil in your pocket? So Blood pulls something out and draws something on the floor, and Batman is, like, transported to Star Labs. And I was like, well, you know, do people just like transport into there all the time, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Sun is a superhero, so it might be, you know, teleporting type of thing.
Maybe.
But I don't know. But it seemed like he expected him.
Yeah.
And he was basically saying, I'm here to save you. And he's like, kind of smirky. He's like, does it look like I need saving?
Right.
The way he's talking, it doesn't give me the sense that he's behind it. But
yeah,
he's like, this guy always thinks, to me, he always thinks he's like the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah.
You know, he's this inventor. He works for Stark Labs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Batman shows him the grappling gun. He's like, yo, we can do some upgrades and this and that. And he's got it in his hand and he shoots Batman with it. I was like, what the heck? This is pretty crazy. But then we see that it's some kind of, I don't know what this was. Was this like like some kind of electrical or some kind of mystical interference where Batman's hallucinating, or what happened there? What sense did you get there?
I'm not sure. Let's just jump real quick back a page where they're having this conversation.
Uh-huh.
And he says, with all due respect, Silas, seeing you immersed in this analog work isn't sitting right with me. I came here because I thought you might be in danger, but I don't know if he thinks that Elias has something to do with this or not. And he says, you're here now because of the same reason you first paid me a visit all those years ago. You didn't want to know just how to fight back. You wanted to be the best. You wanted to know how to wage war and wage it well. You knew to build a better Batman, you had to incorporate science into your fists.
Yeah.
You needed to experience things that would otherwise be impossible. What do you fear? What scares you? And that's when he shoots the grappling gun at him. And he says, not being Batman, unable to help, unable to make a difference.
Yeah.
And then you hear somebody saying, well, we always knew to wear the cape and the cowl, we had to wage war on ourselves, Bruce. Have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, because
I don't know.
It's so weird here.
I don't know if he really meant, I don't know if that was somebody else or he was, I don't know what's going on. But whatever he hit the grappling gun hit him with, it looks like, I don't know if it's some magic, if it teleported him somewhere uh-huh. else or what it did exactly. But we see this Batman who looks like a little kid. His suit is too big.
Yeah, so.
But he's sitting in this bat chair, you know, almost like he's been teleported to another cave of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
In the background, yeah. There's a picture of some of the people that he saved, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you see Thaddeus back there. You see, it looks like Alfred when he got shot. Yeah, pretty wild this issue. I think I sent you a screenshot of that last page and I said, what the heck is going on? You told me that this was a good book and there's some weird looking little kid in a bat suit.
Yeah, I don't have any idea. And if you've seen the cover for next issue, they release what the cover looks like, and this uh-huh. kid is on the cover.
Oh, really? I did not see that.
I'm interested to know what's going on here, you know?
Yeah. I hope it's not one of those covers where they fake you out and they want you to buy it because you think you're gonna get some answers, and then they don't give you the answers.
I mean, is this like some kind of Bruce in another reality or something? I'm just throwing something out there. Another reality that's trying to make Batman stronger, be a better Batman.
Oh, yeah, one of those things.
Yeah. And taking them through these different fights and everything. I just don't have any idea. I'm pretty stumped as to what's going on here.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm pretty stumped. I don't know what's going on. Maybe that's the way they want us right now. I'm really hoping to. I want to see what the next issue is about.
Yeah. Very interesting. Guess we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to add about this particular book?
No, I think that was it.
So we will head to Character Spotlight.
Hey guys, how's it going? This is Joey Galvez.
And I'm Elizabeth Galvez.
And we're a husband and wife podcast team where we discuss a handful of topics straight from the headlines. And sometimes we'll even have some trivia.
Sometimes I will cheat at that trivia. But we guarantee to have a lot of love and opinions. You can find us on anchor.fm/Elizabeth and Joey, any podcast streaming device.
You can also find us at Twitter at Elizabeth and the letter N. Joey.
You can email your thoughts, opinions, and topic suggestions at ElizabethandJoeyShow@gmail.com.
this week, we're going to be talking about Hugo Strange in our character spotlight. Hugo Strange made his first appearance in Detective Comics number 36 in February of 1940. He is one of Batman's first recurring villains, as well as one of the first villains to discover his secret identity. Batman first encounters Strange during a plan where he steals a machine to generate a dense fog every night, allowing his gang to rob banks unseen. Batman begins investigating and is beaten up by his henchmen. Later, Batman wakes up in Hugo Strange's lair and eventually escapes. In Detective Comics number 46, Strange starts spreading a fear-inducing powder around the city until a punch from Batman sends him falling to his apparent death. But this is comic books, right? Nobody dies for so long because he returns in the 70s during the Strange Apparitions story arc, having survived his death earlier. Hugo Strange is then seen running a private hospital for Gotham's wealthiest citizens, where he holds them for ransom and changes them all into monsters. While Bruce Wayne checks into this hospital to recover discreetly from radiation burns he sustained while fighting Dr. Phosphorus, Strange finds out that he is Batman. He also proceeds to wreak havoc on his personal life. Strange then attempts to auction off the identity of Batman to Rupert Thorne, Penguin, and the Joker. Thorne has Strange kidnapped and beaten so he can reveal the identity to him, but Strange appears to have died before he can tell him. Hugo Strange's ghost comes back to haunt Thorne, driving him insane, sending him to Arkham Asylum. In Batman Volume 1, number 356, it is revealed that Strange had survived the beating by using yoga to slow his heartbeat. In Batman Annual number 10 in 1986, Strange returns again in another attempt to destroy Bruce Wayne by attempting to force Wayne Enterprises shareholders to sell him all of their stocks in a plan to bankrupt Wayne Enterprises. Post-crisis, Strange is reintroduced in the Prey storyline as a psychiatrist enlisted to help a police task force capture Batman. Strange is so obsessed with Batman, he dresses up like him in private, convinced this will help him understand the darkness that drives Batman. It is later known that Hugo Strange was abandoned as a child, but he was a bright child, but had a very bad temper. He was raised in an orphanage on the Lower East Side of Gotham and grew up in state homes not far from the infamous Crime Alley. It's unknown how he put himself through college and medical school, but Strange eventually becomes a professor of psychiatry at Gotham State University, but had his tenure suspended due to increasingly bizarre genetic engineering theories. He goes on to borrow money from Sal Moroni, then he bribes a corrupt orderly to give him inmates from Arkham Asylum to conduct his Strange experiments. His test subjects turn into gigantic, mindless monster men possessing superhuman strength. Strange tries to kill the Caped Crusader and permanently replace him as Batman. However, Strange underestimates the level of physical conditioning needed to be Batman. In the New 52, we are introduced to Eli Strange for the first time. Eli Strange is seen playing a poker game with the Russian mob, betting a valuable bracelet. He wins big cleaning the house, but before he could walk away with his winnings, the mobster forces him to play another hand, where the mobster discovers something is up Eli's sleeve. Before he could give an order to kill Eli, Catwoman pounces in from the ceiling and takes out the entire group. And it is known here Catwoman and Eli had been working together the entire time. Hugo Strange uses Eli to oversee an operation to dose Gotham with fear gas. During the Forever Evil storylines, Hugo Strange is among the supervillains recruited by the crime syndicate to join the Secret Society of Supervillains. In DC Bombshells, Hugo Strange is a eugenicist attempting to improve the gene pool. He weeds out what he considers unclean. Following Killer Frost's plan to create a race of superhumans, Hugo Strange allied himself with Penguin and Harvey Dent. With Harvey Dent at the head of Gotham, Hugo Strange would have had access to all Gothamites' genes and control the generations to come. After a handful of battles, Hugo Strange fled in response, promising to find other scientists sharing his dream. Hugo Strange found new allies within the Soviets. They fund his researches and he created several clones using Supergirl's DNA. In DC Rebirth, during the Night of the Monster Man crossover, apparently he is ignorant of Batman's identity. He is now determined to prove his superiority by attacking Gotham with a group of Monster Men created from corpses of former patients. Ultimately provoking Batman into confrontation at Strange's penthouse, he wears what he terms a suicide suit, a near replica of the bat suit without the cape and cowl. Nightwing is seen defeating the final monster by literally leaping inside to inject it with an antidote. Meanwhile, Batman outwits Strange by having Clayface cover the penthouse in an airtight seal. Strange loses consciousness while Batman is left standing. In television, Hugo Strange is played by Beatty Wong in Gotham. Professor Hugo Strange makes his live-action debut, where he is depicted as the chief of psychiatry at Arkham Asylum and overseer of Indian Hill, a secret division of Wayne Enterprises that performs inhumane experiments on superhuman individuals. His number one project is resurrecting the dead. He also resurrects Fish Mooney, which ultimately leads to his arrest. He is brought back to Gotham by the Court of Owls. The Court of Owls tasked him with extracting Alice Tetch's poisonous blood from Nathaniel Barnes so he can weaponize it. He tests the weaponized blood on a man that the Court of Owls obtained. James Gordon and Harvey Bullock later find his secret lab where he was working. After tranquilizing the subject, Hugo Strange gave them the research on the weaponized blood and a sample that he secretly kept from the Court of Owls. In a dark night, no man's land, he helps restore Solomon Grundy back to Butch Gilzean. When the bodies of the Riddler and Leslie Tompkins are brought to him by the Penguin's men, Hugo starts to work on them. So far, that's where we are left in Gotham. In animation, he is seen in the animated series voiced by Ray Booktechnica. Hugo Strange is also seen in a non-voiced cameo appearance in the Justice League Unlimited, as well as in The Batman, voiced by Frank Gorshin, who played the Riddler in The Batman 66. Later, he was also voiced by Richard Green in that series. He also shows up in Batman the Brave and the Bold, as well as Young Justice. He also appears in a short animated film created by Bruce Timm in honor of Batman's 75th anniversary titled Batman's Strange Days, voiced by Brian George. In film, we see him in the Lego Batman movie, as well as Batman vs. Two-Face, the second film in the 66 animated series. Hugo Strange appears in Batman Gotham by Gaslight as well. He also appears in many different video games such as Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Villain Hunt, and the Lego Batman video game, as well as in Justice Gods Among Us and Lego DC Supervillains. That is Hugo Strange.
So, you want to go ahead and wrap up this episode?
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to say that I really loved each and every one of these books that we reviewed this week. I think my favorite would have to be The Batman Who Laughs, and probably a little bit of Detective, because I really liked that we saw Gotham Girl come back. It was pretty cool.
Well, I really enjoyed seeing Gotham Girl again.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Even though that she's like crazy, I enjoyed that story.
Right.
I mean, I'm also enjoying Detective. So,
yeah.
I guess I'd pick Detective just because, you know, I've been enjoying what Peter Tomasi has done so far, yeah. And I look forward to the next issue.
Right. Yeah, these books have been really good. I really like Tomasi's run. And as well as the Batman, it was really refreshing to get a little bit of away from the Nightmare issues. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it was good. If you'd like to be a part of the Batpod, we have an email. Our email is batpodpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. Let us know what you think. Also, you can send us an audio clip of that email. We'll play it right on the show.
And if you guys would like to get a hold of us at our bat phone, yes, we have a bat phone. That phone number is 410-449-0650. Again, the bat phone number is 410-449-0650.
And we are on Twitter. It's at PodBat. I am at GothamKnight13.
And I'm at JoeyGalvez84.
So I wanted to thank everybody who has retweeted our episodes on Twitter. We really appreciate it. And if you are listening on iTunes, if you could do us a favor and give us an iTunes review, we'd really appreciate it. Was there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just want to reiterate that the artwork was awesome this week.
Been some good stuff. So yeah, we should be back in 2 weeks with a new episode. Same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later.
Needless to say, I keep a check. She was a bad, bad, nevertheless. Calling it quits now, baby, I'm a wreck. Crash at my place, baby, you're a wreck. Needless to say, I'm keeping a I'm not going to do that.